We have before us today two mountains. That mountain in the first reading, Mount Moriah, where Abraham and Isaac went up, and Abraham seemed to have been commanded to sacrifice his son before the angel stayed his hand. And then in the gospel, we have Mount Tabor, that mount of the Transfiguration, where Jesus gave a sort of pre-look at his glory, at his splendor, to those apostles that were most intimate with him. Two very different mountains in our biblical narrative. And so we ask, what does one mountain have to do with another in today's readings? And certainly, every Sunday, the readings have something to do with each other throughout the year. But especially during this Lenten period, which is considered a strong liturgical time, the readings and the prayers of the Mass are paired with even more intention to draw our attention to certain themes to help us to interpret the gospel. And so today, as in the rest of Lent, the first and second reading, we can look at them as sort of a pair of eyeglasses through which to read the gospel to help us to understand what's going on here. And so I encourage you, when you're reading the Sunday readings throughout the week before Mass, to look for this, look for those themes that come up. And I encourage all of you to do this, to make this a habit, a practice, of engaging the readings before you come to Mass. I guarantee you, it will help your experience at Mass and help your prayer life. And if it doesn't, you can come to me and complain and tell me I was wrong, and then we'll talk about why that might be. But this is part of listening to his beloved Son, engaging that word day by day, week by week. But let's look briefly at that first mountain, that mountain of sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac. This, of course, is a very famous scene in the Bible. It's one that's very difficult and controversial to understand exactly why God would ask Abraham to sacrifice his son like this. And we could spend all day looking at this from different angles and looking at different interpretations. I won't put you through the all-day version. Rather, we'll just stick to a couple main points that help us to get at the gospel. One comes through very clearly. It wants to emphasize the faith and the obedience of Abraham. We consider Abraham to be our father of faith. Well, this is part of the reason. When the word of God came to him, he obeyed. Even when he couldn't quite wrap his mind around yet what was going to happen at the end, he entrusted himself to something bigger than him, because God had proven himself trustworthy. And so this is something that each of us needs to remember as our own dynamic of faith. Entrusting ourselves to God. We're not supposed to get it all quite yet, but to put our faith in him, that he will provide. He will provide in a way that is most life-giving for us and for those around us. And a second aspect of this reading is that it wanted to make clear that God, the God of the Bible, does not require human sacrifice. That might seem very obvious or silly for us to say now, where of course we would think it's horrendous to offer human sacrifice. But at the time, surrounding cultures and religions had that very much as a part of their practice. And so we have this very intense scene in Genesis that in the end shows that this is not what God is asking. Yes, God asked for sacrifice, but there's something different about this God. There's something different about this sacrifice. It doesn't lead to violence and the death of others, but rather it's in view of life. St. Paul helps us out a little bit in the second reading with interpreting this scene of Abraham and Isaac. And he draws a connection between what happened with Abraham and Isaac and what happened with Jesus on Calvary, on that other hill. St. Paul says, "He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him?" And so he's reading the sacrifice of Jesus in light of Abraham and Isaac, seeing that first reading as a sort of foreshadowing of what would come. But attention here, he's not doing it in this negative way, sacrifice for its own sake, but rather he's trying to get us away from this interpretation of sacrifice as appeasing an angry God, and helping us to understand that the kind of sacrifice we talk about with our Christian faith is one of self-gift out of love for the other. A sacrifice of self out of love for the other. If God would do this for us, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? St. Paul says. If God is for us, who could be against us? That second reading opened with those wonderful words. We could open every one of our days with those wonderful words. When our fears and insecurities start to creep in, if God is for us, who could be against us? Let that be our starting point. And so this leads us to that second mountain of today's readings, Mount Tabor. Now, after the first two readings, talking about sacrifice, Abraham and Isaac, we might expect the gospel to be a scene of Jesus on the cross, but it's not. It's rather the scene of the transfiguration. Now, the church, in her wisdom, places this reading of the transfiguration on the second Sunday of Lent, probably to help us from becoming too gloomy during Lent. We're in this penitential period. We know we're on the path towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. But we're given to consider one of the most beautiful, life-giving moments of the gospel. This surprising splendor. After Jesus had already told his apostles that he would have to be crucified, he gives them this sort of sneak peek into the glory that is to come. So this encourages us in our own Lenten journey. And yes, we're still going towards Jerusalem, going towards the cross with Jesus, but we're reminded that there's something beyond that. There's a life that that cross leads into. Now, the disciples got this sneak peek. They were given a look at probably what happened between Jesus and the Father every time Jesus snuck away to pray. This incredible life and glory. They got a little fragment of that secret that God eventually wanted to reveal to them. And they would have to preserve that fragment in their hearts because they still had a long way to go before the end of things. Now, this is where we get to the so what. What do we learn from this portion? Just like Jesus gave them a nice peek at his glory that would sustain them, he gives it to us as well. St. Leo the Great suggests that one of the reasons for the transfiguration was precisely this, that Jesus knew that the disciples still had a long path to go, they would still encounter troubles, they would be scandalized by the cross, but he wanted to give them that experience that would carry them through in the tougher moments. And so they had to know how to nurture those good experiences to then lean on them later. As do we. In our own prayer, in our own lives, our experiences of love with one another, we have those mountaintop moments. Maybe you've taken a retreat, you feel especially connected with God. We can sometimes be like Peter in those moments and say, well, Lord, this is great. Let's just build a tent and stay here. I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want to go back to work or to school. Why can't we just stay here now that we've gotten that taste? But for some reason, Jesus sends us back into life and asked us to preserve those good experiences, to know how to recognize them, take them deeper into our hearts, so they mature, and we can carry that to others. Because he knows we still have quite a bit of path to go before all is said and done. And so this transfiguration helps us to be more attentive to those little fragments of light that the Lord gives us to see. We shouldn't take them for granted, but rather cling to them. Let them take root in our heart. We're going to need them later. This transfiguration keeps us from becoming too much about doom and gloom during Lent. And it reminds us that the connection between those mountains, the mountain of sacrifice and the mountain of glory, well, there's very much a connection there. That our sacrifice as Christians is not about appeasing an angry God, but about entering into that logic of self-gift, making our lives a gift for others, the way Jesus shows us how to do. As we move towards this transfiguration, we're told in today's gospel very clearly, very simple instructions. Listen to him. How do we start to enter into this logic of self-gift? Well, by listening to Jesus. Walking around, going to the gym, driving around. You know, we're always listening to something. With our earbuds in or our radio on. We've got music. We've got podcasts. All kinds of things. We're listening to lots of voices. To make sure that the voice that's really forming our lives is the voice of the one that we profess as Lord. This is God's beloved Son. Listen to him. He shows us the path of life.